Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The pandemic continues to compound the University of Alaska's already constrained budget situation. In the third and final year of a state funding compact with Governor Mike Dunleavy, the UA system is slated for a $20 million reduction in FY22, but COVID-19 is making things worse. Addressing university regents during a board meeting yesterday, UA Interim President Pat Pitney said pandemic-related costs and revenue losses, initially projected to be $15.7 million, have continued to increase.
And now it's looking between 22 and 26 million in terms of what we anticipate our fiscal year 22 impact of COVID.
Pitney noted that the number is after the application of COVID aid money the institution has received. She said the situation warrants reconsideration of the funding reduction dictated by the compact.
The extraordinary nature of the COVID impact to the university, but also the importance of the university to the state's recovery post-pandemic, I think really changes a lot of the conditions of the compact.
State lawmakers are meeting in special session to finalize the budget, including funding for the university. Pitney told Regents that a House proposal would add back the originally projected COVID impact amount of $15.7 million, while a Senate proposal would add back $10 million. She said the university is pushing for the state to steer federal COVID relief money to the institution. Alaska's statewide COVID-19 case rate is at its lowest level since July 2020. That's according to a Department of Health and Social Services weekly update released yesterday. It says 261 new Alaska resident cases were reported last week, a 32% decrease from the week prior. Case rates declined in 7 of 11 regions. Among those that increased was the interior region outside of Fairbanks. The DHSS says 52% of Alaskans 16 and older have been vaccinated, and on a per capita basis, Alaska is the 28th most vaccinated state in the nation. The agency announced 44 new Alaska resident COVID cases yesterday, including 5 in Fairbanks, 2 in Tok, and 1 each in North Pole and Delta Junction. There were also 2 new non-resident cases identified statewide. 3 new COVID hospitalizations were reported, with 19 diagnosed and 1 suspected COVID patient hospitalized. 6 patients were on ventilators. This year's Copper River salmon return is tracking below an already weak preseason forecast. The Department of Fish and Game forecast a modest 1.35 million sockeye and 37,000 kings, both well below the 10-year average. And Fish and Game Upper Copper River biologist Mark Somerville says so far the returns are falling short of prediction.
We've passed so far at the sonar 77,000 salmon, and we were expecting by this time about 163,000 salmon. We're certainly lagging behind, and we're tracking similar to last year, 2020's run, and also 2018's run, which was also a low year.
Somerville says cold water temperatures and low river levels could be affecting salmon movement upstream, but the situation has forced cancellation of recent commercial openings on the Copper River Delta. The season's first opening of the upriver personal use dipnet fishery at Chitna is next week. The state announced yesterday that the opening will run June 10th through the 13th, 3 days shorter than normal.
As we look further into the future here with the sonar, if the sonar does not improve significantly, I think personal use fishermen should expect some restrictions in that fishery, similar to what we've seen in 2020, where we restricted to short periods each week. And then also with king salmon numbers looking like they are, we can probably expect restrictions in the king salmon fishery.
Somerville says it's possible that the runs could bump up as the season progresses, and he emphasizes that managers are focused on meeting escapement. The first tea farm in Alaska is getting started this week near Fairbanks. It will also be the only geothermally heated tea farm in the world. KUAC's Robin reports.
Jenny Chia grew up in Fairbanks drinking coffee.
I drink black coffee. I still drink black coffee.
Not what you'd expect from a world-class tea connoisseur. Yes, here in rural Fairbanks is an international award-winning tea expert who is consulted by artisanal growers in Hawaii, India, and China, who runs the leading tea manufacturing in Alaska. Now she'll be starting the only tea farm in Alaska.
I want people to know that tea in Alaska could be grown, be sustainable, and we can have amazing products here in the state.
She came to the idea after 14 years as the proprietor of Sipping Streams, an artisanal tea store on the west side of Fairbanks. Inside the shop, server Shu Amos makes bubble teas for a couple of customers.
Would you like a 16-ounce or a 20-ounce?
We do all of our own packaging and labeling and blending. Most people don't realize we are the leading tea manufacturer in the state.
Che shows visitors a large bag of dried fireweed blossoms, cranberries, and tea leaves that helped earn her reputation.
Hand blending, so it was our first international award we ever won. It's with local fireweed and Lobish cranberries. You might have seen a machine back there. I built this commercial-grade dehydrator myself. So we dry the fireweed and the Lobish cranberries.
Awesome.
And this is like a high demand but limited amount because it's wild harvested and has to be hand done.
Chia may have grown up drinking coffee in Alaska, but she does drink tea, all day in fact. Outside her shop, she pours a guest an expensive Hawaiian-grown blend. But she didn't discover tea until she was a student in Idaho working on her athletic training and education degrees, and she needed to save money.
And I started switching to the cheapest thing on the menu, which was tea.
She returned to Alaska to work as a trainer and physical therapist, and later as a high school math teacher, but continued to research tea. She says she learned it could be transformative.
And when I worked in physical therapy, people would tell me their stories about tea, having it in the South, sweet tea, oh, I'm from Arkansas, blah, blah, blah. Some sort of story memory about tea. I'm like, there's something to this.
She started teaching tea classes and eventually opened the Fairbanks shop. That got her to travel to tea farms in China and India. During the pandemic, she started a podcast interviewing international experts and a YouTube channel to reach customers who could not come into the shop. And she continued her online tea certification program with students across the country and in the UK. She sent each of them a small tea plant to grow indoors. And that sparked the idea of growing tea in Alaska.
I knew a lot of things about what the tea plant needed. It needed warmth, it needed humidity. It can withstand snow, but not 30 below. So where in Alaska could you do that?
She thought of Chena Hot Springs and Bernie Carl, the entrepreneur who pioneered sustainable energy projects and year-round food production in geothermally heated greenhouses.
I just asked him if I can use his greenhouse. He said, sure, here, 45 will fit in here because he has the gardening experience. And he's like, you need to order 45 plants. I'm like, okay, order 45 plants.
As the story of the first geothermally heated tea farm gets out, it's attracted the attention of researchers.
Can we have your data? And I'm like, what data? I'm not a scientist.
Che's hoping to harvest the tea trees later this summer.
It's a wonderful experiment to really show sustainability in Alaska if we collaborate.
She'll be teaching a class on tea at the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival in July and is thinking about having it at the tea farm at Chena Hot Springs. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.